So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. I'll be reading out of the King James Version because you'll see why as we get down. Chapter 1. Now Joram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, but he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against king of Israel. And King Jeroham went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab in battle?" And he said, "I will go up. I am as thou art. My people is thy people, and my horses as thy horses." And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way to the wilderness of Edom." Amen. So Israel became a divided nation. So this King Jehoshaphat, if you guys remember Jehoshaphat's name, when the prophet Elijah went and told him, "Ahab, you're going to go to war, but you're not going to come out alive." Ahab said, "Come on, Jehoshaphat, join me. I'm going to take this land over here, Ramoth Gilead, I think it was." And he said, "I want you to fight with me." He said, "Go, as you go, I'll go. And it's my horses, your people, my people." So they were in. But Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, said, "Wait, do you got a man of God around we can hear from?" And they brought a prophet out. And the king Ahab said, "You know, wait a second. This guy, he never said nothing good about me. You know, and he didn't like this prophet. You know, because the prophet always didn't have nothing good to say about King Ahab." And he said, "All right, well, you know what?" Jehovah said, told him, "Speak." And he said, "All right, you guys are going to go. You're going to take the prophets down. You're going to take this land. The Lord will give them into your hands. But Ahab, you will not come out alive." And Ahab's like, you know, like, "I told you, he never said nothing good about me." So this Jehoshaphat fought with King Ahab. Now in our story, Joram, the son of Ahab, comes and says, "Hey, come fight with me, King Jehoshaphat." And Jehoshaphat said, "You know what? Your people, my people. All right, let's roll." And that's where our story is, all right? I just wanted to give you a little insight of all of these kings and stuff. You know, so now he's going with the son of Ahab. Now, again, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. King Joram was not a man of God. He was an adulterous king. Joined together on their way to this land that they were to Moab to take it, they were going to pass through the land of Edom. And Jehoshaphat was good friends with his king of Edom. He said, let's grab the king of Edom, Mesha, and take it to him. Let's roll with us." So king of Edom said, "All right, let's roll." So now there's three kings that are coming down to Moab. They find themselves in a rut. Let's see what the rut was. Here we go. Verse 9. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord Again, he asked, is there not a man of God around that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to see him. And Elijah said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. All right. So they found themselves in a rut. What was the rut? No water. They were on this journey. They ended up taking 7 days, and they found themselves in a rut. How many of us have ever found ourselves in a rut? A rut is a pattern that it's hard to break out of. It's usually developed over time. It can develop even when we're doing good. Why did these kings fall in a rut? Because of their own foolishness. They used up their physical resources, and they failed to ask God before they even started. Again, right when things look good, we can really mess things up. You guys agree with that? Right when things are rolling, man, hey, I'm doing this, man, I'm getting this much a week. I'm rolling, man. We could care to mess off a little and stuff, and then we find ourselves in a rut. Right when things are good, we think we got to handle things. We can do something foolish. We can get ourselves into debt. We can get cocky. Come on, prideful. We can say something stupid. Come on, married couples. Or we think things are so good, we can spend a little more than usual, and now we're all out of water. We can get ourselves in a rut. And all of this could have been avoided if we had just prayed about it first. I mean, stupid decisions I've made because I didn't inquire of the Lord before. Because the Lord will give you peace. But if you're too cocky, you'll say, I don't have peace about it, but I know things are going to be all right. What does the Bible say? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and the Lord will straighten out your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Do not lean on your own understanding, and the Lord will straighten out your path. We should inquire of the Lord. The kings could have heard from the Lord and not did what they did, but they didn't. How many times have you got busy in what you're doing, and things start getting hard, and resources are going down, and then you're like, let's pray. Elijah told them, why do you come to me now? Aren't we glad we don't have to go to a prophet for him to tell us, why'd he come now? You were all bad, thinking you're going to do all this. The prophet said, why now? Go to your gods of your father or your mother. So glad we can go right to God now. See, why do you seek me now? You're too busy all week, but now you need my help. God can tell us that. Oh, what, I haven't seen you at my house for a few weeks now, but now you're on your knees calling to me? Luckily, the kings had somebody committed to God. Luckily, maybe your spouse is committed to God, that God will forgive you guys, that God will help you guys out. Thank you, Jesus, for two people committed to God, but thank you, Jesus, that at least one of you are committed to God. A lot of things get hard because maybe both of you aren't committed to God. See, if the king would have sought God first, they probably wouldn't have spent all they had or gone through the trials or had the quarrels. Listen up. Let's go back to our story. 14. And Elijah said, "As the Lord of the hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regarded the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee." You're lucky that I respect Jehoshaphat. I got respect for that man of God. So, all right, I'll hear you out, man. Now bring me a minstrel, a harpist. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, and the hand of the Lord came unto him, and he said, "This thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches." So they're in this valley, and they're out of water, and there's a king across the valley that they want to take their land, but they're out of water and they're weak. They're a little tired from this 7-day journey. They're out of water. My gosh, you know, has anyone ever been soul thirsty? And you're like, man, you know, I just need a drink of water. The principle of digging ditches in our lives is simply to make room for God's provision in our circumstance. Let me say that again. The principle of digging ditches in our lives is simply to make room for God's provisions in our circumstance. God is specific in his condition for provision. God said, dig, work, sacrifice. See, if you have faith in God, you have to do something. Wait, Pastor. I thought I just sit and believe and he fights my battles. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. I just want to come to church and sit here. No, well, good luck battling all your battles, because faith without works is dead. If you're coming to church expecting to receive from God, you have to be doing something with God. Praying to God, serving in church, fellowshipping with church family, studying your word, reading books, listening to Christian music. Come on, do something with God if you're coming to church. This is what digging ditches is. Digging ditches. We got to work. He didn't say dig one ditch. He said make this valley full of ditches. It's going to take work to have God provide for you. All right? If I want God to provide for me, I've got to get up and do something. I can't just come and sit in the pew in and out every Sunday and think God's going to work on my part. I got to do something. The prophet said, dig ditches. I know to obey is a hard sacrifice for some of you, but that might be the one ditch that God wants you to dig, somebody, is to obey. We need to provide a place for God in every area in our life. We're digging ditches when we trusted him to move, when we make sacrifices, when we empty ourselves to be filled up again, somebody. He can't fill up what's already full. If you're full of yourself, if you're full of pride, if you're full of rebellion, if you're full of disobedience, if you're full, come on, somebody, empty yourself of these things so he can fill you up. That's what digging the ditches is. Remember, what did I say? The principle of digging ditches in our lives is simply to make room for God's provision in our circumstance. Amen. Dig as deep as you want to receive. The soldiers had to work for what they needed to receive new strength. They didn't just sit back. God's for us. He's going to strengthen me. He said, dig ditches. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to give you water, but dig ditches so I can fill something up down there. Where do I dig? In the valley. In the valley. That's where he wants you to dig. What's the valley? The valley is the dark place when we're in battles and trials. A dark cloud is over our life. You know, that's when I got to dig some ditches, somebody. I got to pray. I better be on my knees and praying. I've got a dark cloud over me, man. I got to dig a ditch right now. You know, excuse me, but I got some work to do. I can't miss church right now. I got some praying to do. I can't go do this right now because I got some things I need to talk to God about. I need to empty myself out so he can fill me up. When we're in the valley, dig. Dark and discouraged, tired, hot, lips parched. The soldiers had to still dig, somebody. The soldiers were tired, burnt out, walking for 7 days. No matter how tired they were, they had some digging to do, man. Because Elijah said, dig ditches. Make this valley full of ditches. Dig even though you're tired. Dig even though things look bad. Soldiers were told to dig ditches on dry ground. Not exactly, they weren't exactly in a time for hard work. We can be going through heavy trials. That's even the more time to pray. Not exactly a good time to be spiritual, you know, in the hot desert, hot parched lips, dried up, no water. Wasn't it exactly a righteous time to get all spiritual? But that's how God works. How do we make room for him? How do we make room for God? By digging. The more we allow God in our lives, the fuller our lives will become. We make room by obeying, by working, by sacrificing. My life's really not going as great as I wish it would go, but then dig ditches. Get closer to God. The more we allow God in our lives, the fuller our lives will become. Show me a family that succeeds in life, and I'll bet God is number one in their life. Show me a family that is struggling, and their walk will show it, will show why. If I need more God, I'm going to be after God. If I want to prosper and live up to what God's got for me, I better get more God in my life. The kings were told what to do. God can't fill up what ain't open. If your life is full of things, you'll find it hard to sacrifice for God. Yeah, but I have faith. Do you have obedient faith? The soldiers were told to dig if they wanted what they needed. If you're busy, maybe it's time to dig a ditch in your schedule, in your battles. Maybe it's time to stop fighting and start digging, somebody. Digging what? Digging to empty ourselves of what's not of God and letting him fill that up. Digging into the word. Digging yourselves out of ruts is going to take sacrifice. It's going to take work. God loves you, but he wants you to obey. Are you obedient? 2 Chronicles 7:12, he says, I have chosen this place for sacrifice. What place is he talking about? I have chosen this place for sacrifice. What place is he talking about, somebody? He's talking about the temple, the church. If you're coming to church and you ain't sacrificing nothing, if life is all la-di-da for you, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. He chose this place for sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to serve God with all your heart and all your time and all your money. It's a sacrifice. But he chose this place for sacrifice. That's a hard word. I've chosen this place for sacrifice. What are you sacrificing for God? Ask yourselves this morning. Oh, I know he says you're his child, but are you a good child? Doing what he says and not doing what he says not to do. Oh, I know he says you're a new creation, but are you a new creation? Are you pretty much, or are you the pretty much the same person you've always been? What are you sacrificing? 2 or 3 hours on Sunday? That's the least we can give God. Come and sit here for 2 to 3 hours and walk out, not talk to nobody for the rest of the week. No, you're not digging ditches there. And you wonder why things are not changing. Dig ditches, somebody. Dig ditches if you want to be filled up. Amen?